Awesome, awesome. We're doing some recording back there, and last time, you know what the cool thing was? Some of you guys know that we recorded last week, right? And we recorded one service, and it was totally different in the second service, and none of them got recorded. You know what I love about that? Because that message was supposed to be live, no replays. And I love when God does those types of things. It's just way cool. So let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. How does it feel to not be forgiven? Think about that. Somebody has something against you. I'm sorry?
Heavy?
Scary. Somebody's got something against you, and it's not a forgiven thing. Or maybe you have something against somebody else, and that's not forgiven either. What does that feel like? Heavy, right? It was said. What do you think about that? We always talk about, how do you feel? I like to think. Because it didn't say renewing of the heart, it said renewing of the mind. The mind guides everything else, right? It's okay to have that feel point, but I really want to know what you think about that. Because that's where those things are really jacking with your brain, right? Because you sit there and you walk around without forgiveness of somebody. I don't care what the level of crime may have been. They may have stepped on your fingernail. They may have stepped on your Cheerios. You know, they may have eaten the last bit of Lucky Charms, and you didn't get to get those. Maybe they left you at birth or left you at life early on. Maybe they killed somebody that you know. Maybe they spoke with you harshly. Maybe you're teaching the lack of forgiveness to another generation. And now we have generation upon generation that's in the absence of forgiveness, right? Because when we hold an embittered way, when we're not fully opened up to what the Lord would have us do and free us up from that element of multiple elements, but since forgiveness is the topic, that's where we'll remain, you don't get to advance much beyond it. And you get kind of stuck. And you know something? When you got this absence of forgiveness going here and you got somebody that did something little, but it's like this. Driving to the grocery store to get a loaf of bread and you're driving like you're going to the emergency room. Do you ever notice that? I got to get some eggs. You know? Or I got to get eggs. And I got to take grandma to the... And we're going 90 miles an hour. No, you go down and get your fruit and salad and you're just kind of mosey on down to the store. You got time to get there, right? You know, we'll teach a habit. We'll teach a habit. We probably won't be so quick to forgive somebody else along the way. We'll get caught up on the littlest of things and then wonder why we're so upset over something so small, you know? But when we sit there and examine deeper on, you're going, oh my gosh, you know, what's our audience? You've got that person that may have overcome you physically, and I don't mean in a good way. And those things are hard to get beyond outside of the Lord. You guys that have been here any length of time knows that that I went through something like that, and it was not a fun time. That's why I'm so particular about guarding my kids right now. The person, I remember their face mildly, but they're probably beyond, you know, the grave by now. My hopes are is they're in heaven, and I hold no ill will against that individual at all. At all. But it's easy for one to sit there and carry that stuff on to where now it's going to be generational, right? Not good thing. You know, from that, I guard my kids. Whenever we go to the restaurant, and you know, my grandsons are my kids yet again. And by the way, I did get to see my four great-granddaughters all at once. And yes, save one grandchild, I have a picture of all of my grandsons and my son with me. And I totally get your Grammys, you know. I totally get your Grammys because I don't get that often. And they all say, yeehaw, and it's not even church, you know. It was so good to be with them. But the two that I have here in this state, whenever we go out to a restaurant, I'm always guarding. I'll go into the restroom ahead of time to make sure that it's clear. And if it's not, I want to know what those guys are doing in there, if they're standing or sitting. Sorry to be graphic. And that way I can time it. When I see them exit, they were good to go. And my grandsons are 18 and 15. Do you understand that doesn't change? You understand that does not change? Your kids are still your kids. And by the way, if you're an adult child to a parent, if your parents are still parenting you, chill out. They still love you. You know what they could do? They could just stop talking to you forever, because that happens too. Do you understand? That happens too. And unfortunately, I know that more than I should. Let your parents parent. Parents, don't get all up in your kids' business. Give them a little room. They're not the perfect. They don't have 30, 40 years on them kids. I know some of you'd be 20. Some of you may be 15. If you're from Texas, it may be 13 years older. It's a joke. No, it's not. The thing is this. We've got to give each other room to make mistakes and grow, right? You know, whenever you've got something you're held against somebody, it'll come back to remembrance in the most queer of times. You know, something may spark it. You know, it's a lot of times when you're working with first responders and they are out on a scene and there's an infant involved, and it's never the look of the infant of its head being squished between two tires, you know, after a nasty fatal. It'll be that little book that says, "My ABCs," or, you know, George, whatever that, what's that sock puppet, George, or maybe I'm thinking of something wrong, the monkey George. Those things will trigger. You know, that's what we saw when we saw, or that's what we can see when we heard what happened with Joseph. Remember? Lies, cut the lamb, stain the coat of many colors, lie to dad, because you wanted to be in a place you shouldn't have been, you're tired of your little brother that was 17-year-olds punking you out, getting you in trouble for all that. Right? Just because he was the responsible one and you're the oldest one and you're not as responsible as the younger one. How many times have we seen that in Scripture? David, you know, he was a younger one, right? All the responsibility with the sheep. What about the older brothers? Joseph and his dreams. I'm tired of your dreams, bro. I'm tired of them. You dream that I'm going to bow down to you, and again, you dream that mom and dad and us are bowed down. What kind of arrogance is with you, saving dad, thinking through, better store that one for later. Don't like what you said, save for later, because he's watching that, what's going on. Remember, we talked a little bit about watching what's going on with somebody that is developing in the Lord's ways. We have to be patient with that. Parents, are you listening? Kids, are you listening? We got to be patient with that. We got to be patient as God is developing us out into his likeness. You have to love them where, listen, you have to love them where he wants you to have them be, not where you think that they should have a point of demarcation. It's not right. It's his way. Think about that. Joseph, dad, son, died. His beloved Rachel fought. How many years? 7 years. I get my girl. Leah, what are you doing here? We have kids? What? Oh, 7 more years. You know, in our custom, it's the first. Oh, 14 years. Remember, we enumerated how many, what was it, a million and some odd monies that he gave up in time just to get his Rachel? And the firstborn from Rachel has been thrown in by the other 10 that he doesn't know about. But there's this massive lie and they don't even care about dad. They'd rather, they're so tired of hearing the goody two-shoes boy, right? Well, we got a famine in the land. Folks are hungry, right? They're needing food. And we know based on PBJ, Pastor Brent Johnson, teaching over the dreams and whatnot that happened, that the famine was going to be about. And we're on it in 42 of Genesis. We're in the New King James. If you need a Bible, we've got some Bibles in the back. Everybody got a Bible? Everybody got a paper Bible going once, going twice? If you need plastic, remember, when you turn the page in the plastic, you got to go whoosh, 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 to make it sound like that. Father, please, show us yet always your word. Every time your book is open, your spirit has that pouring out ability, and we're here to receive that, Lord, please, as you see fitting, do this. When Jacob saw that there was grain in Egypt, Jacob said to his sons, Why do you look at one another? We heard there was grain. And he said, indeed, I've heard that there is grain in Egypt. Go down to that place and buy for us that we may live and not die. So Joseph's 10 brothers went down to buy grain in Egypt. Why are they looking at one another? Dude, where did their brother get sold to? Right? Sold to the Ishmaelites on a train to Egypt. Every time they heard Egypt, can you hear it? Having dinner in the tent? Wouldn't you like to be a fly on the tent wall? Every time they brought up something about Joseph, you know, or how they missed him, or he may still hang on to a fragment, excuse me, of that coat of many colors. This is extra biblical. You can see what it's like to have somebody that you miss desperately. You know, we've gone through a fair amount of deaths here. You guys understand that. And when it's time to start talking about people again, it's natural that that comes. And you'll tell a story about something, and you'll actually start to laugh again about it. And you kind of laugh. Oh, they're dead. And you almost feel guilty, you know. Don't feel guilty. It's okay. It's part of healing to be able to look at his story and laugh at it a bit, you know. And every time a train would go by of people for trade, because, you know, they didn't have the truck full of food coming by, that those camels, those donkeys, whatever went by, that's your meal ticket. That's the trade that would happen, mobile trade. Every time they saw one of those, every time they moved the sheep to Shechem or up to specifically Dothan where they shouldn't have been, you know, those thoughts of that boy, 17, being sold into slavery. Every time they saw a well, or specifically a dry well, or a coat that may even have looked somewhat loosely reminding them of that incident. But you know, when you start laughing and telling stories, you sit there and go, oh man, I just miss them. Yeah, I just miss them. But those brothers, those 10, sitting around there, going, oh, yeah, I remember when he said that whole thing about, yeah, and he ran into the field, and they're smiling out here, but their eyes are cold as coal because they know the story and the lie is actually there. You guys, we know how it is. Sometimes we're fighting in the car and we come in, right, and we go, all right, straighten up. Hi, guys. We'll talk about this later. Yeah? You'll learn about the love of Jesus. Get in there, right? But we put that face on. That face goes on here because we know what's going on inside, right? Maybe you get to an area you haven't been before and you've had an egregious crime or a bad reputation from where you come from, and you're kind of like, I don't know that I want to be around that right now. I mean, when I went back to Texas, you know, on that military base, it'd been 42 years since I've been on that base. I was like, ooh, man, that's a long time. And then all these thoughts, I was like, oh, you know, Lord, I don't want to see anybody I've harmed before. Because I was not a good guy at all. Still not. Just saved. Just saved. I don't want to have to remember all that stuff. You know, it's the enemy. He'll sit there and isolate you and bring that stuff back up just to jack with you some, right? Just to jack with you some. But they're going to Egypt. They're thinking about that. That has to be on their mind. Why would they be looking at one another? There's grain. You go. This isn't a slow trip. This is a long trip. You know, it ain't going to be hopping on a bus or a plane and you're there in short order. You're moving over time. I heard there was grain. Let's go down there. So Joseph's 10 brothers in 42.3 went down to buy grain in Egypt, but Jacob did not send his brother Benjamin with his brothers for he said, lest some calamity befall him. And the sons of Israel went to buy grain among those who journeyed, for famine was in the land of Canaan. I want you to come back to this picture just a minute of the grievous heart of the dad, Jacob. His son from his view died, ripped apart from his view by a wild animal, right? And he was so belabored by it that nobody could counsel him back to wholeness. His hair went grayer for that. I'm not sending another one out because of what's happened here, kind of like I was talking about in the bathroom. This has happened. I'm not sending another one out. Y'all weren't responsible with this one who I sent out to watch over you, and now you want to take another one? That ain't going to happen. They didn't ask to take him. He's just saying it ain't going to happen, Captain. It's not going to happen. Lest some calamity. 6. Now Joseph was governor over the land, and it was he who sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brother came and bowed before him, and he saw their with him their faces to the earth. Joseph saw his brothers, recognized them, but acted as a stranger to them and spoke roughly to them. And then he said, "Where are you from?" He recognized them. You know how long it's been? 15 years it's been. He's 32 now. Everybody's older. All the people I've seen, I hadn't seen in a while. It's funny, I hadn't changed. They all got older, right? Yeah. They didn't recognize him. You know, he's 17, 32. They just didn't recognize him. He's all Egypt-upped. You know, he's not a Hebrew young fella anymore. He's changed. And you can see him getting a little upset. Let me ask you a question. When you've had a violation with somebody, I don't know if I spoke of this ahead, but I'll do it again and play like you heard it the first time. But if you go over to somebody's house that you have a foul with, you know what I mean by a foul? Y'all have bad words, and you go to somebody's house that you've had bad words. Is it fun going up to their door? You don't even want to text them. You're thinking about unfriending them on Facebook, right? You want them off social media. I'm done with you, pal. I don't want to hear nothing about you, no kind of way. But you know down deep in your heart, you need to kind of make up. You ever had that experience where you went and made up when it's hard? Is it fun? No, it's not fun. We want to run, hide. We want to duck tail and run and get away from the whole thing. But now he sees this situation. Do you think that 32-year-old man went back to 17-year-old boy? Somebody snap. I can't snap. Thank you. Like that? On count three. One, two, three. Thank you. I hurt my hands drumming. I'm like, I can't snap. All that 17-year-old boy came back to him right then and there. He's put back into the criminalization mode. Now, be careful here if your thoughts take you there. And if we take you there, ask the Lord to pull you back out. But I can go back to wherever I have criminalized somebody or somebody has criminalized me or fouled against me or me them. And you can go right back in that. You can hear a song and know a day. You can't remember a day necessarily, but a song will bring you there. And he's there. And we're seeing little signs of him being upset. And I'll tell you right now, somebody threw me in a well, sold me off, and you're my brother, you're my kin, you're my family, you're supposed to look out for me, you're the older ones. And you sold me off because Dad liked me best and God had visions for me. I didn't understand them. Evidently you didn't either, but you sold me off. What kind of deal is that? You're supposed to guard me. You're supposed to take care of me. Men, are you listening? You're to guard them ones around you, not just the ones that come from your loin, the ones that are in your care and your charge. That's whoever's within reaching distance. You can't reach them, pick up a boot and throw it at them. They'll fall. You can pick them up and bring them close back. I'm kidding, don't do that. It's a stranger to them. We come from the land of Canaan to buy food and ate. So Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. Then Joseph remembered the dreams he had about them bowing down. You're spies. You've come here to see the nakedness of the land. You've come to see that we are where our weaknesses are. And they said, "No, my lord, but your servants have come to buy food. We're all one man's sons. We're honest men. Your servants are not spies. We're honest men." You know, how can you get there from there? But over 15 years, maybe some things have changed because of the dishonor. You know, some people will go out and work real hard to build an image of themselves because they're ashamed of the one that came before them, where God will allow us to deal with the dirty work and then come and be shaped into the image that he wants us to be, which is him. In 12, but he said to them, "No, but you have come to see the nakedness of the land." And they said, "Your servants are 12 brothers. The sons of one man is the land of Canaan. In fact, the youngest is our father today, and one is no more." Who asked them to give up all that information? But Joseph said to them, It is I who spoke to you, saying, "You are spies. In this manner you shall be tested by the life of Pharaoh." In other words, swear on my mama's grave, or I swear on a stack of Bibles. "By the life of Pharaoh, you shall not leave this place unless your youngest brother comes here. Send one of you and let them bring your brother, and you shall be kept in prison, that your words will be tested to see whether there is any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh," on a stack of Bibles, "surely you are spies." So he put them all in prison for 3 days. Now look, listen. Y'all ever been mad at somebody? Is that a good time to make a decision, yes or no? "I'm so mad at you right now, I'm going to chop your head off." Right? You're not going to chop somebody's head off. "I'm so mad at you, I'd just kill you." You're not going to kill anybody. But we say things kind of irrationally when we're mad. But when we've had time to think about some things, don't they cool down a bit? Don't they? You know what? Have you ever been put in time out as a kid? Some of you would have been called, go to your room. Go to your room. You've been a bad kid. Give you time to think about stuff, right? He needed time. He needed 3 days. We need time to think about things because there's fury going on here. He's got fury, right? Then Joseph said to them the third day, do this and live, for I fear God. If you're honest men, let one of your brothers be confined to prison, but you go and carry grain for the famine of your houses and bring your youngest brother to me, so your words will be verified and you shall not die. He's flipped this around. 3 days caused him to think totally differently, right? And they said, and they did so. Then they said to one another, we are truly guilty concerning our brother, for we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us, and he would not hear. Therefore, this distress had come upon us. Do you understand? This is the first time they've been taken into captivity. And all those memories 15 years ago from the one that was the perpetrator came back on them because they got to see it firsthand. They had had their virtual freedom and now in lockup. They had a little taste of their own medicine. And Reuben said to them, did I not speak? I told you so. Did I not speak to you saying, do not sin against the boy? And you would not listen. Therefore, behold, his blood is now required of us. But they did not know that Joseph understood them, for he spoke to them through an interpreter. And he turned himself away from them and wept. See, he's hearing the other side of the story. He's hearing the older brother talk about, we should have guarded him. Didn't I tell you we should have guarded him? And he's hearing that. And that longing for the brethren is starting to potentially come back in. You can see that. Man, when you foul against a family member, it's not fun, dude. It just holds. You know, when I was on my road trip, I ticked off one of my cousins. They wouldn't even tell me goodbye. I just spoke truth in their life. You know, I mean, I'd have did it with daisies and cute, funny bunnies, you know, and little fuzzy kittens. I came in firm. Some folks don't want to hear that, especially when you're sinning. Sometimes you just want to stay stuck in your sin. You don't want to be spoke to like that. He wept. He saw change. God's changing his own heart. Then he returned to them again and talked with him. He had to walk off, evidently, because he had to return to him. Trying to hold his composure. He's a governor. And he took Simeon from them and bound him before their eyes. You know, I've seen people in politics come through this building around Trapper Days because they're in the parade, right? I won't get into the name of the individual, but we got to pray for one of the, what is he, House of Representatives in U.S. U.S. House. And we prayed, and when we got to a sore point, it bothered him to no end. And his countenance changed in the negative. You know, we're not all perfect here. You go work for, wherever you go work, you take God with you. My hope is that that person had changed. He returned to them again and talked with them, and he took Simeon from them and bound him before their eyes. Simeon was the player, right? Simeon has the true taste of the medicine that had happened to him. Simeon's locked up. Brothers, don't leave me back. No, brothers. Prison. Done. Locked up. You understand when somebody's locked up, the whole family is? Something you do has an effect on other people. Things you do have an effect on other people. Things other people do have an effect on you. Grace and mercy gets to be abounding. 25. Then Joseph gave a command to fill their sacks with grain, to restore every man's money to his sack and give them provision for the journey. Thus he did. For them. So he loaded their donkeys with the grain, departed from there, but as one of them opened his sack to give his donkey feed at the encampment, he saw his money, and there it was in the mouth of his sack. So he said to his brothers, my money has been restored, and there it is in my sack. And their hearts failed them. That means they're like, they stop. It's like, oh my God, we got the money. They're going to come kill us. They're going to take us all. They're going to wipe us all out, right? You could easily see how that could extrapolate. Yeah? Where am I? Somebody help me. Failed them. And they, thank you. And they were afraid, saying to one another, what is it this that God has done to us? No, bro, you've done it to yourself. But actually, it's a good question. What is it that God has done to us? We see that as a negative. How about a positive? Dude, you got your money back in there. So, kind of like having a 20 you found in a suit coat or a pants pocket or your purse, whatever. 29. Then they went to Jacob, their father, in the land of Canaan and told him that all that had happened, saying, "The man who is the Lord of the land spoke roughly to us, and he took us for spies of the country. But we said to him, 'We're honest men before a father that you lied to without concern of his emotions, let alone the business that you were to inherit. We're not spies. We are 12 brothers, sons of our father. One is no more, and the youngest is with our father in the land of Canaan.' Then the man, the lord of the country, said to us, 'By this I will know that you are honest men. Leave one of your brothers here with me. Take food for the famine and for your household, and be gone. And bring your youngest brother to me, so I shall know that you are not spies, but that you are honest men. And I will grant your brother to you, that and you may trade in the land.' Then it happened, as they emptied their sacks, that surprisingly each man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid." Dude, this is Pharaoh. This is like coming up against the USA today. You know, or Rome in its day. You're coming up against Egypt. They were afraid. You were before the governor. This dude had it all. He was the signet ring. Just Joseph walking into the land, he breathes in whatever direction. He owns that because he's the man. And Jacob, their father, said to them, "You have been bereaved me. Joseph is no more. Simeon is no more. And you want to take Benjamin? Dude, on your watch, Joseph died. On your watch in Egypt, Simeon is not with us. You think I'm going to put Benjamin, my true love's only other son left alive, that I'm going to let you take him with you? I loved her. I love them. I love all of you, but them I love especially." That's what's pounding in his heart. "All these things are against me." Then Reuben spoke to his father, saying, "Kill my two sons if you will not bring him back to you." You know, hang on a minute. You got to understand, we talked a minute ago about where everybody's being thrown back into their age profile. Remember that Jacob was being thrown back into this time, and he had such grief. Some of you have lost children, and I can't even get there with you. But I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't get far from you, ever. Ever. For life, you know, the ones that have gone before you, not just your kids, the ones that have gone before you, you know, you hurt for them. You want to see them again. And the ones that are in heaven, you know, that's just a short time away. Such a blessing. "Kill my two sons if I don't bring him back to you. Put him in my hands, and I will bring him back to you. But he said, 'My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If a calamity should befall him along the way in which you go, then you would bring down gray hair with sorrow on my grave.' I ain't doing it. I ain't doing it." What's he saying? "You're going to cause me to have more gray hair over this. I can't do it." You notice he didn't send him right back? Look, this is what's happening. He's going to take some more time until the grain runs out. We don't know how much grain is afforded him, but whatever time frame that is, they're going to play this out. This guy needs time. He needs time. But guess what? He's also weighed into the factor that two sons, Benjamin and Simeon, one's still in lockup while he's needing time. Tick-tock on the clock, right? They're still in lockup. "Now the famine was severe in the land, and it came to pass in 43:1, when they had eaten up the grain they had bought from Egypt, that their father said to them, 'Go back, buy us a little food.' But Judah spoke up and said, 'The man Solomon warned us, saying, You shall not see the face, my face, unless your brother is with you. If you send your brother, if you send our brother with us, we will go down and buy food. But if you will not send him, we shall not go down. And for the man said to us, You shall not see my face unless your brother is with us.' And Israel said, 'Why did you deal so wrongfully with me?'" Israel is Jacob. "Wrongfully with me as to tell the man whether you still had another brother." Dude, what were you thinking? Why did you even open that story up? Now I'm bound. God is so funny. 7. "But they said, 'The man asked us pointedly about ourselves and our family, saying, Is your father still alive? Have you another brother?' And we told him according to these words. Could we possibly have known that he would say, 'Bring your brother down'?" You know, there's a bit of some honesty coming out of these fellows in telling that of what's going on with the family. Then Judah said to Israel, his father, "Send the lad with me, and I will arise and go, and may that we may live and not die, both we and you, and also our little ones. I myself will be surety," or the cosigner, "for him. For my hand you shall require him. If I do not bring him back to you and set him before you, then let me bear the blame forever. For if we had not lingered, surely by now we would have returned this second time." And their father Israel said to them, "If it must be so, then do this." He's finally come to the resolve. The family's going to die if he doesn't get food to them. The famine's not yielding, and we don't have the wherewithal to get the animals in the tents out of here. It's very intense. Oh. Do it. Take it. Take some of the best fruits of the land in your vessels and carry down a present for the man. A little balm, a little honey, some spices, some myrrh, take some pistachio nuts, and some almonds. See, he's currying favor. But he's also being hospitable. But you need to understand something. They're in the midst of a famine. They got nothing. They're going after something. They're giving everything that they have the ability to give ahead of time. Sound kind of like what our dad did for us in giving his son? A good father takes care of his children. A good father looks far down the road and see the needs of the kids as well as what's going on in front of them. We have a good father that saw the need for men to be able to be restored unto the Lord. And he did that with Jesus. Take double the money in your hand and take back in your hand the money that was returned in the mouth of your sacks. Perhaps it was an oversight. Take your brother also. Arise, go back to the man. And may God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may release your other brother and Benjamin. If I am bereaved, I am bereaved. Sometimes we have to be at the extent of everything we know before we can be fully broken before the Lord, that he can build us up to everything he would have us be. So the men took that present and Benjamin and took double the money in their hand, arose and went down to Egypt. They stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with him, he said to the steward of his house, "Take these men to my home, slaughter an animal. We're going to Dickie's and have some barbecue." In 17, then the man did as Joseph ordered, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house. Now when the men were afraid because they thought they were brought into Joseph's house, and they said, "It's because of the money which were returned in our sacks that first time. We're brought in so that they may make a case against us and take us as slaves with our donkeys." In 19, when they drew near to the steward of Joseph's house, they talked with him in the door of the house, and they said, "Oh, sir, we indeed came down the first time to buy food, but it happened when we came to the encampment that we opened our sacks, and there each man's money was in the mouth of his sack. Our money was in full weight, so we have brought it back to in our hand, and we have brought down other money in our hands to buy food. We do not know who put our money in our sacks." But he said, "Peace be with you. Do not be afraid. Your God and the God of your father has given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money." Then they brought Simeon out to them. You know, whether Joseph took Pharaoh's money or his own family money, unknown, I prefer to think of his own money. So the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave him the water and washed their feet and gave their donkeys feed. Then they made present ready for Joseph's coming at noon, for they had heard that he would eat bread. They would eat bread there. Can you imagine not having any grain and finally getting to eat bread? Oh, we get to eat bread. And when Joseph, I know some of you guys are saying carbs and the whole don't eat bread, but we're not there. We're here. We're back then, not today. If you didn't have anything to eat, you'd want to eat bread anyway. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present in which was in their hand, and that's all the nuts and everything, bowed down before him to the earth. The second time that they bowed, right? Then he asked them about their well-being and said, "Is your father well, the old man who you spoke? Is he still alive?" And they answered, "Your servant, our father, is in good health, and he's still alive." And they bowed their heads down and prostrated themselves. That means they laid flat down. Then he lifted his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, "Is this your younger brother of whom you spoke to me?" And he said, "God be gracious to you, my son." Now his heart yearned for his brother, so Joseph booked out of there and had to go to a closet and cry his eyes out as the governor. My brother! See, these thoughts, these memories, he hasn't seen his brother for 15 years. It's his lineage brother, his blood brother. He's seeing him for a first time. Emotions are rampant. Well, Dave, I just don't have emotions. Sad yet. Don't harden yourself. Because this is big time stuff. He had to go get himself away so he could get himself composed and wash his face and come back out. And he went into his chamber, wept there. Then in 31, he washed his face and came out. He restrained himself, said, "Let's eat. Serve the bread." 32. So they set him a place by himself and them by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because Egyptians could not eat food with Hebrews, for that is an abomination to the Egyptians, and they sat before him. And the firstborn according to his birthright, the youngest according to his youth, and the men looked astonished at one another, because they were all in order. Then he took servings to them from before him and put on Benjamin's serving was 5 times as much as theirs. And they drank and were merry with him. With him. Do you see that they're not worried about him? He's not a threat to them as brothers any longer where Joseph was. They are eating with him. He had 5 times more food test to see how they would respond. You know, I was telling first service, Mary Lou made some homemade street tacos last night. That girl needs to open a restaurant. You know, two ways about it. But I'm telling her not to, because then I don't get her food. Her food will get watered down. Somebody will steal the recipes, and it's all over. So you might as well just not do it and let me be selfish. Feed me. But I don't want 10 of them. 2 was good. 10 is a boatload. Dude, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Plate. Let me ask you, if you had a taco and I had 9 more than you, would you be like, what about Bob? You know, you got all that, where's mine, right? You'd be kind of like, what's going on? But they didn't do that, see? Before they would have done that because they were jealous of Joseph, see? Because they weren't mature then. We're starting to see signs of change, and Joseph is giving them the option to reveal and to ensure that that change has come. In 44 and 1, he commanded the steward of the house, saying, fill the men's sack with food, as much as they can carry, and put each man's money in the mouth of his sack. Also put my cup, the silver cup, in the mouth of the sack of the youngest, and his grain money. So he did according to what Joseph had spoken. As soon as the morning dawned, the men were sent away, they and their donkeys. And when they had gone out to the city and were not far off, yet far off, Joseph said to his steward, get up, follow him, and overtake him, say this, why have you repaid evil for good? Is this not the from one you which you took, which was my Lord drinks, and indeed he practices divination? You have done evil in doing so. Now, Joseph doesn't practice divination, but it's a ruse. You know, they would look at water and determine the future. I don't know what it's called, hydro something, hydromancy, you know, where they were looking into the macabre to find out what the future was going to go and do. You guys all know that if you drink a cup of water, you know where that's going to go, right? Into your body and get consumed. I mean, let's go. Come on. So he overtook him. He spoke to him, said the same words, and he said to him, why does the Lord say these words? Far be it from us that your servants should do such a thing. Look, we brought back to you the money from the land of Canaan, the money which we had found in the mouth of our sacks. How then could we steal silver and gold from your Lord's service, with whom every of your servants is found? Let him die, and we also will be my Lord's slaves. And he said, now also let it be according to your words. He with whom it is found shall be my slave, and you shall be blameless. Then each man speedily let down his sack to the ground, and each opened his sack. So they searched, and they began with the oldest and left off with the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. And then they tore their clothes. Each man loaded his donkey and returned to the city, a far cry off from the coins that they got for Joseph's enslavement. Now they're torn, literally. So Judah and his brothers came to Joseph's house, and he was still there, and they fell before him on the ground, about again. Joseph said to them, "What deed is this have you done? Did you not know that such a man as I certainly practice divination?" Then Judah said, Shall we say to my Lord, what shall we speak, or how shall we clear ourselves? God has found out our iniquity of your servants. Here we are, my Lord's slaves, both we and he, also with the cup was found. But he said, far be it from me that I should do so. The man in whose hand the cup was found, he shall be my slave. And as far as for you, go up in peace to your father. Then Judah came near to him, and he's coming near to him to talk to the governor. He still doesn't know it's his brother. Oh, my Lord, please let your servant speak a word in my Lord's hearing, and do not let your anger burn against your servant. You are even like Pharaoh. My Lord has his servant saying, you have a father or a brother? And we said to my Lord, we have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age who is young. His brother is dead, and he left alone of his mother's children, and his father loves him. And then you said to your servants, bring him down to me that I may set my eyes on him. And we said to my Lord, the lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. So he's bringing back to remembrance all this dialogue they had. But you said to your servants, unless your youngest brother comes down with you, you shall not see my face. You shall see my face no more. So it was when we went up to your servant, my father, and we told him the words of my Lord, that our father said, go back, buy a little food, but we cannot go down if our youngest brother is not with us. And then we will go down. For we may not see the man's face unless the younger brother is there. Then your servant, my father, said to us, you know that my wife bore me two sons, and one of them went out from me, and I said, surely he is torn to pieces, and I have not seen him. But if you take this one also from me, and calamity befalls him, you shall bring down my gray hair with sorrow and grief. Now therefore, when I come to your servant, my father, and the lad is not with us, since his life is bound up in the lad's life, it will happen when he sees that the lad is not with us, that he will die. So your servants will bring down the gray hair of your servant, our father, whose sorrow to the grave. For your servant became surety for the lad to my father, saying, if I do not bring him back to you, then I shall bear the blame for my father forever. Now, therefore, please let your servant remain instead of the lad. He's changing his life for his brother's life before the one that he did not exchange a life for. Go up with his brothers, for how shall I go up to my father if the lad is not with me, lest perhaps I see evil would come upon my father? Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood, and he cried out, make everyone go out from me. Get out of here. All the servants, all of you go. He can't handle it anymore because he's seeing what's happened. He's seeing the defense of his brother that should have been for him. He's seeing men changed. Make everyone go out from me. So no one was with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers and wept out loud. And the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard it. Dude, that's a big cry. I'm microphoned right now, but when you're crying so loud that your neighborhood hears that, the only thing I have reference to is my sister-in-law when her son was spoken to have died in the war and was delivered by a Marine at her front door, who just retired, by the way. And when her husband drove home, he could hear her wails two blocks away, and he knew right then what had happened. That is a cry beyond measure. It's a cry beyond measure. The whole house heard it. Then Joseph said to his brother, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? But his brothers could not answer him, for they dismayed at his presence. This is 15 years happening like this in front of him. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near. Then I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves, for you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. You understand? Listen, before we read on, you're going to be in situations that you don't understand why you're even in. And you just need to trust God through it. You know how you trust God through it? You start praising his name. Start singing hallels. That means praise. Hallelujah. I want to praise your name. Oh, Lord, you never let go. Right? Through the calm, through the storm. Praise his name. Praise his name. And you know what else? When you praise his name, all the echoes of ignorance leave. For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there's still five in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth. Kind of like what we have at home with our mansions in heaven, rooms or whatever they're going to be. To save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh. Would you put that Romans 8 up on the screen? Has made me and the Lord of his house and a ruler throughout the land of Egypt. Hurry and go to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord over of all Egypt. Come down to me, don't tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me and your children's children, your flocks and your herds, all that you have. There will be food. I will provide for you, lest you have your household. Lest you and your household and all you have come to poverty. For there are still 5 years of famine. And behold your eyes and the eyes of your brother Benjamin, that see that it is my mouth that speaks to you. So you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and of all you have seen, and you shall hurry and bring my father down here. Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck, wept, and Benjamin kissed. He wept and he kissed him. Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. Do you understand how important it is to be relieved if somebody has sinned against you? Do you understand grace and mercy? That is a relief. It is no longer on your plate. You have taken the noose from them. You have taken the shackles from them. You have taken the burden that they've carried on their shoulders of the crime they had against you. It doesn't make you any bigger. It doesn't make you any better. It makes God glorified because that's the nature of his name. So when we pray in his name, it is in his nature, and his nature is goodness, kindness, loving, mercy, graciousness. Great grace we're in. Do you understand? Now the report of it was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brothers have come. So it pleased the Pharaoh and his servants. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, say to your brother, do this. Load your animals, depart, go to the land of Canaan, bring your father and your households, and come to me. I'll give you the best land of Egypt, and we'll eat of the fat of the land. This is Pharaoh saying, bring your pals, man. Bring your kinfolk out. We're going to eat up big and have a lot of land. You're going to get the best of the best. The best of the best. Wow, our Lord is amazing. Now you are commanded in 19, do this. Take carts out of the land of Egypt for the little ones and your wives. We don't want your kids and your brides to have to walk. Bring your father and come. Put him in one of those also. Also, do not be concerned about your goods, for the best of all of the land of Egypt is yours. See, we already have that inheritance in heaven, by the way, as we close up here. Then the sons of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them carts according to the command of Pharaoh, and he gave them provisions for the journey. He gave all to them, to each man, changes of garments. To Benjamin, he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of garments. That had been a lot. And he sent to his father's house 10 donkeys loaded with the good things of Egypt and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain and bread for the father and then for his journey back. So he sent his brothers away and they departed. And he came to them and said, do not be troubled along the way. Do you understand? They got to go tell dad the undo. Joseph ain't dead. That was a lie. All of us were a part to it. See, he's even given them the chance to go up and talk to dad about it because it's going to happen because he's going to say, Dad, Joseph's alive and he was here and we lied. I want you to feel that burden relief from those men. I want you to feel the burden relief when you confess your sins to a righteous father that wants to cleanse you of your sins. Do you understand? And allow other people to be forgiven in your life. Forgive other folks. When they went out of Egypt, came to the land of Canaan to Jacob their father, and they told him, saying, Joseph is still alive, and the governors, and he is governor over the land. And Jacob's heart stood still, because he did not believe them. But when they told him all the words which Joseph had said to them, and he saw the carts which Joseph had sent carrying him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. That 52 years of separation between that woman and her sister that I told you about a few over the last few months, all those years that they had been apart was dealt with. That was my mother and her aunt. I have a half of my family I don't know, and we're building relationships now. They did not speak with each other for 52 years. And it was some stupid thing, I am sure. Because if it's not the righteousness of God, it's foolishness, and foolishness is stupid. That's idiot. That's what that means. And to see them, they didn't get all together and love and huggy-kissy. It wasn't that way because they were strangers. But both reported back that the burden that they carried for, say it, 52 years has been removed from them. Any of you that have a calculator, would you take 52 times 365.25 right now and let me know that enumeration? 365.25 times 52. That had been removed from them. Those boys for 15 years, now they're not boys, they're men, but you know, when you say boys down in Texas, it's whoever you're talking about, girls or boys. You boys, come on over here. Those boys there, 15 years they carried that burden of the lie. 15 years of seeing the sorrow on Dad's face. 15 years of carrying the burden of what Dad had. Do we have that number? Say it. 18,993. Fair to say 19,000 days? 19,000 days apart. And one's losing their mind and the other one's losing their body. And they're pen-palling and talking on the phone all the time. Being sisters for the first time ever of any sensible way. And they both know Jesus Christ now. For me, my mom just gave her life, and I got the opportunity to lead her 5 years ago. Remember, 1 in 100 come to know Jesus after the age of 70. I will repeat this constantly. You're looking for a mission field? There's an old folks home right up the street. And by the way, the Alzheimer unit, you can read the word to them, the word goes out, doesn't come back void. They'll forget it 20 minutes after you've read it. But they love being read to. You can walk right down there anytime, say, you know, I just want to come down and read today. It's Wednesday reading day. Right here in this town, steps down. There are people that are going to die at the rate of 99% of their people group because they won't accept Jesus Christ. There's only one other group that matches that, and that's the deaf. And if they were a country across the world, they'd be the fourth largest country in the world. Then Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is still alive, and I will go and see him before I die. Isn't that amazing? I'd say mom right now, but you got to turn it over and go, wow. Wow. What grace. What layers. What challenges. What change. What changed. And God gets glorified in the challenges within our story. We'll read this out loud, and we know. Go. And if you were in San Diego, that'd be porpoise. No, I'm kidding. All things. What is all things? Work together. All things work together for my good. Your love never fails. You guys were ready. You know what? All things in your life are working together for his good. And if you're caught like me sometimes, I just want to be all like, well, why didn't I get that? Why didn't it come out my way? Oh, dude, my way or the highway, Dave. You need to get off. You need to get off that podium. True grace. Listen. Don't get wrapped up too quick here. True grace is what's happening here. True mercy. When I say true, that's the essence of purity. That, you know how that happens? Time with God, TWG, twig, time with God, right? You got to have time with God. You have to have that desire to be with him. I don't care if you have one scripture. I'm going to read 17 books of the Bible today before the game. I'd rather see you take one and just get it to the point of a cow making a sound when he pukes his food back up in his mouth, and it's a flavorful thing for him to do, and he goes, that's so good. And we get the word Selah from that, which is in the word, which means to not only chew it, but chew it up so well and enjoy what you're receiving. I'd rather see you grab one scripture and just to your soul. True grace, spending time with God. Does God hold a grudge? Not to a repentant heart. He just turns us over to our ways. That's what it says in Romans. He just turns them over to our ways. If us, maybe, but not for long. Say it, not for long. Say it. Not for long. If you've got a grudge you're holding against somebody, listen. Don't get distracted right now. We're doing communion here. If you're right this second holding a grudge against somebody else, or you're at fault with somebody, or they're at fault with you, before you come do communion, do business with the Lord. Do you know what that means, to do business with Him? 1 John 1:8 says, if we say we're without sin, the truth is not in us, and we call God a liar. Can you imagine standing before the Lord and say, you're a liar? Then the truth's not in us. But verse 1.19 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us. That is a pure, pure cleaning that you can't even get to. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So communion's up here. Communion's up here. And in doing so, you got to take that to Him. Now, if y'all have been going here regular and doing communion regular, and this has become like kind of hyper familiar to you, don't take communion. That's still a profane way. It's like, okay, that's what we do now. Mm-mm. No. Do you understand how much you've been forgiven? See that next scripture you have? Do you have another scripture up there? Watch this one. I think I still have one. I don't know what it, yeah, Matthew. Peter came to Him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven. And Jesus said, don't say up to seven, but 70 times seven. You have been forgiven. Do you know how much you sinned in your entire life? Are you afraid to enumerate that? Me too. And He's forgiven every one of them and us all collectively. So when you come to that cross, know of your forgiveness. Please know of your forgiveness. And not just know it, do something with that. For me, I don't work for righteousness. I come to this point of knowing Him and I owe Him. I come to this point of selling out for Him. Well, you're a pastor, you should. No, dude, ask this guy. He's known me as long as anybody in the room. They say one, two. But I'm the same guy I was 15 years ago as far as being sold out for the Lord. He's mine. I'm His. That's it. You know, done deal. It just happens to be we're doing this now. This is all of us because we're all a priesthood of believers. Sold out for Him. Out. It's over there. You know what to do. Father, thanks.